Yesterday we mentioned chapter 6 to chapter 8, the sanctification. And chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 8, let's talk about water baptism. Water baptism is there are two questions. There's life application. If we have once truly repented for our sin, but sin again, and because the flesh was forgiven, then if we sin again, because we are astray, will God surely forgive us? And it is to get hard and harder to repent. And this may be because I am numb to sin. The answer of sin is the grace of God. So you look into chapter 5, Romans chapter 5. Grace greater than sin. It is a hymn. Grace greater than sin. If we look into the first John, we talk about what is called mortal sin, lead to death. And I wish you to that. And mortal sin, the Bible does not definitely mention what is mortal sin. But if we combine two verses, put it together. One is revelation, those who want to will be thrown into the lake of fire. Chapter 19, the murderer, soldier, adulterer, these are so-called mortal sin. So we, as a Christian, most of people will not commit that kind of sin. So if we do it willfully in Hebrew, willfully means we know it, we still do it. That's the end of our spiritual life. So we should not commit a mortal sin. However, the sin not lead to death. We pray and God will forgive our sin. And that forgiveness will through all our life. So 1 John chapter 1 John chapter 1 verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. What does that mean? Actually, we have sin. And how come? Then the truth is not in us. Truth is the standard. If the truth, the standard, come into our heart, and the sin will emerge. And truth is the light. If the light shines into our heart, and the darkness will be exposed. So, verse 9. If we confess our sin, and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. So the key point is confess our sin. Every day before we sleep, we have self-reflection, and we confess our sin in that right moment, Jesus Christ is going to forgive our sin. So that is the best way to deal with sin. Not to hide it, but to confess it. And grace is greater than sin. So after we confess our sin, we have the confidence that God already forgive me. So don't have the guilty conscience. Some of the Christians keep on have guilty conscience for a long, long time. It's not good for us, physically, mentally, spiritually. And if you have that kind of guilty conscience all the time, you're eventually depressed. You cannot eventually go right. So we have to have a total repentance. And repentance including few parts. First, repentance, the first part, we need to have wisdom to know what's wrong, Emma. Is there any wrong I have been doing is wrong? That is wisdom. The second is we need to have courage to admit I am wrong before God. The third is we have the power to depart from our sin. So we sin no more. The fourth is we need to have new life to bear the fruit, transform ourselves. So there are a few steps involved with repentance. So repentance doesn't mean just tell Jesus, I'm sorry, right? And then, tomorrow do the same thing. That's not repentance. So, and also in the book of John, talk about, if you see chapter 3, verse 8, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. And he who sinned is of devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For the purpose of the Son of God was manifested. Chapter 3, verse 9. And whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. So eventually, we will not sin, we cannot sin. Why? Because the seed of God is inside us. And that seed is the words of God. And that seed contains the life of God. So if we let the words of God fully grown up in our heart, then we will not sin. And how can we let the words of God fully grown up in our heart? Is to pour down the water. When the seed fall into the ground, you have to put the water. More water, and the seed will start to grow. So we study the words of God and we pray. Beside repentance. And after we are filled by the Holy Spirit, gradually, we will not sin. The second is, I feel like I am growing. I have grown spiritual, but at the same time, I'm tied down because of my sin. I cannot tell where I'm at my spirituality. Could it be that I have become spiritually blind? Or paralyzed, because back home, and because of my own weakness, it is hard to constantly pursue the filling of the Holy Spirit, and it is very hard to spiritually cultivate home. What can I do? If we come back to Romans chapter 6, from verse 12 to verse 14. As a Christian, we can be slaves either to sin or to God. Being slave means that sin control you, or that God control you. If God cannot control us, then sin will control us. So we have two masters, we have to make a choice. One is to be submissive to the evil desire in our body. The second is to submissive to God. And that kind of power to get rid of sin is come from Holy Spirit. So the renewal of the Holy Spirit is a promise of God, but we have to put effort into it. So in the Bible, we always see that God promises something, but you have to put effort into it to get it. Just like in Joshua chapter 1, right? God said, I already given to you the land, but you have to go in, you have to fight, you have to take it. The same thing, God already promised, He is going to help us. You are going to get rid of sin, but we have to take action to fight it, to pray. And prayer is not enough than fasting prayer. No, fasting prayer is very, very powerful. If we fast prayer still not enough, then you invite some of your spiritual friend to pray together. Two or three pray together is more powerful than one. If we pray at home, it's not enough, then we come and pray in the church. If we live not far away from the church, every morning you can come and pray, or every evening you can come and pray. If weekday you are not available, then weekend you can come to the church and to pray. So how can we get rid of sin? Spiritually, we have to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And on the other way, we have to avoid falling into the temptation. Right? If you always have an internet game, right? That because what? You have sinful nature inside, right? But also because your internet, the speed is too fast. Now, just low down to 1.5. You will never get what breaks again in the internet. Why you pay extra money and for temptation, right? If you relate to a lot of sin to internet, just slow it down to 1.5. It will reduce you a lot of sin. If your smartphone will make you sin, why not change that means dumb phone? We come to the church, we are coming to the spiritual higher ground. But once you use the smartphone, then you already bring you down to the mundane world. Right. So, I don't know why people like to use the smartphone. It's a drug, contemporary drug. Well, yes, it's convenient. But do we need to 24 hours always get connected? Do we need to check email every 10 minutes? Is that a life-threatening? You don't do it, then you are going to lose your life. Right? Do we have to do it instantly? Why not wait one more hour? Why not wait until I go home, I still have a computer there? Right? Yes, this is convenient, but since human nature is so weak, we cannot control smartphones. Smartphone control us. The best way is just to get rid of it. A simple form. So that's my answer. But if you still have a question after the class over, you're welcome to discuss. I will invite you to have a coffee. Romans chapter 6, then because of the law, so we already have sin. So chapter 7. Verse 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I could not have not sinned. Except through the law. Is law good or bad? Is law good or bad? Because a lot of law, a lot of sin. That means no law, no sin. Is the law good or bad?
You just imagine, right?
If right now government say, from today on, whether you want to drive left side or right side, it's up to you. Free. So it's good or bad. You're free. A lot of collision of people die, right? So law itself is good. The intention itself is good. But what bad is human nature. We cannot do it. It's not a problem of the law. It is a problem of human nature. Look into it. The Ten Commandments, which one is bad? Which Ten Commandments is bad? None of them bad. Everyone is good. Because everyone comes from the love of God. Right? Worship the only one God. Oh, you say, oh, that put a lot of pressure to me. I'm already so busy with the worship of the only one God. Do you know, God is the source of peace. God is the source of power. God is the source of wisdom. God is the source of joy. God is the source of hope. Oh. So if you put the first commandment into your heart, become first priority, then your life is full with joy, hope, peace, power. Right? So it's good. You have to fully connect it to the source of the power, the source of the hope, right? So the first commandment is good. How about the second commandment? Do not worship idol. Of course it's good. You worship that God. That's waste of your time, waste of your money, right? That God is created by human being. If you worship the idol, you have to worship the one who created the idol, right? You go to the idol store, right? It's not good enough. Who made the idol? I want to worship you. So you should say so. No. The person who was able to make the idol is greater than the idol itself. Right? No. So worship the idol is make no sense at all. But we just feel people just, I don't know why, what happened. Their brain is so smart, they can get a PhD, but when they go home, they start to worship idol. No. When there's an earthquake, idol fall down on the ground and put it back again and start to worship again. What kind of mentality, what kind of rationale, I cannot understand. No. We can only say that is a trick of Satan. Blind the person spiritually. No. Right. So some people, when they worship the idol, they look into the idol can communicate with the person. No. They will say, sister living in Paris birthday, they were about 20 years ago, after she was baptized. And she had the idol put on the piano, talk of piano. The idol make a pure jade. Very expensive. She did not want to throw away. And when she sit in the living room, idol talk to her. Why do you betray me? Oh. So she was scared. She said, what should I do? So the worker just said, use a hammer to smash it. And the idol will not talk to me. Right? Idol is a god, it can smash it. Nothing is going to happen. It is a work of Satan. The third commandment, right? Do not call the name of God in vain. The name of God is so powerful. Jesus Christ, so powerful. When Satan call you, come to bother you, it's the name of Jesus, then Satan run away, right? But if you always abuse the name of God when Satan come, right? Use the name of Jesus, nothing happened. Why? Because you already abused the name. No. So it's good. You honor the name. So when you are in need, you pray in the name of Jesus, God will listen. So the third commandment is good. The fourth commandment is even better. Who want to walk 7 days a week? No. Right? If a boss say, you rest tomorrow, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you salary. I'm going to do that. Of course you will do that. No. And Jesus, the Bible says, Sabbath day is a day of rest. Not only that. Sabbath day is the day of blessing. Why not? You rest and you receive blessing. Why not? Right? So it's good to have Sabbath. And some people just restrict themselves to have Sabbath hour. Not Sabbath day. Oh, 10 to 11. Oh, this is what I'm dedicated to God. And after 11, I still start to plan my appointment, this and that. wow, this person lose a lot of blessing.
Yeah.
Superficially look smart, but actually foolish. It's the day of rest. It's good to rest. Number five, to honor your parents. Of course, it's good. You know, beside God, one day you are going to know, beside God, the most important is family. And honor your parents. You have good relationship with your family. That's good. So nowadays, everybody wants to detach to everybody, to be free. And because of detachment from other people, and that kind of freedom, you see everybody isolated in your heart. And eventually you find out so many problems. So many isolation cause so many mental problems. Number six, don't kill. It's good. Don't kill, of course, it's good. Don't murder, don't hit. Number seven, even better, right? Don't commit adultery. And there will be no broken marriage. And there will be no family with only one single parent. Adultery is so destructive. Number eight, do not steal. If everybody don't steal, then your computer don't need to have password. Right? If you don't steal, then the door don't need to have lock. Why you have so many passwords even we forgot which password is which side? Right? A lot of people steal. Why you have so many key? Because you're afraid somebody intruder, right? Steal something. So it's good. So all the commandment of God is good. Because we fail to do it, so cause us a lot of problem. Of course, on the other way, there was a sister about 20 some years ago. She quit the church. The reason is she had some kind of depression and she went to see the psychiatrist. And psychiatrist say, the reason you have depression is because you have too many guilty feelings bother you. And that guilty feeling comes from your religious conviction to the teaching of the Bible. So she said, what can I do? The psychiatrist said, the best way is to take care, to get rid of that standard, so you will never feel guilty. And that standard you are the teaching of the Bible. So she quit the church for 20 some years. And then that depression never get cured. A lot of times she want to jump over the bridge of the freeway. But then about 2 years ago, she came back to the church and she received the Holy Spirit. And right now the depression gone. No. So our problem is not because the Bible is too strict. Our problem is because our sinful nature, we cannot abide in the teaching of the Bible. If we can fully abide in the teaching of the Bible, your life will fill with peace and joy, with hope and with power. So, the book of Romans chapter 8, we talk about the Lord is good. So, sanctification comes from Holy Spirit. And in a time when there is war inside our body, what should we do? So in chapter 8, verse 26, we talk about how to pray. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what should we pray for as we ought.
but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered.
It's so wonderful to pray with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because sometimes we even don't know our own need. No. Right? Without physical checkup, we don't know what's wrong with you inside. No. But spiritually, we don't know ourselves. But when we pray with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit search every part of our heart, and Holy Spirit know our need, and Holy Spirit will pray for us according to God's will. Oh. So the perfect prayer is pray with the Holy Spirit. So when you are bothered by sin, when you are worried too much, you don't know how to pray, the best way is just say, Hallelujah, praise the Lord, keep on praying, speak in tongues. Right? Pray until you are filled by the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit will pray for you according to your needs, according to God's will. And that is a perfect prayer. Oh. So sanctification needs more prayer. And then, we look in one of the verse, chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. All things, all things including you cannot find a job, all things including the sickness, all things including something you don't like, that call all things. And all things work for God, work for good. For what? To whom? For good to those who love God. So, all things we have no control, but love God is what we can do. So no matter what happens, the way we respond to what happens should be the way we show our love to God. Jesus Christ said, if you love me, you keep my commandment. So the way we respond to everything, every person, every situation, must according to the biblical way. If we do it, eventually you are going to see everything is good for us. Good was for us doesn't necessarily mean physically or financially. Good for us, surely it will mean spiritually, it will be better for us. If you look into the story of Joseph, he responds every circumstance with a way which can please God. If you look into Daniel, he responds every circumstance without counting the price. No, right? With a way can please God. Because of this, he was even thrown into the den of lion. But because he pleased God, so God protected him. So he was taken out of the den of lion, and then his position became prime minister, even more secured. Why? Because the king witnessed God was with him. The king even respected Daniel. So the problem is not all things happen to us. The problem is we cannot respond to everything according to whatever pleased God. So we have to pray to God, help me, whatever I do, whatever I say, whatever I think can please you in all things. And eventually it will be good for us. Okay. Now verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is with us, who can be against us? So this should be our attitude of life. So in our spiritual life, the most important is to pursue the abidance of God. If we really have the abidance of God, then you have no worry at all. Right? Because God abides in me. Why are you worried about it? You have no fear at all. Pursue the abidance of God and the blessing of God will follow. That is the goal. Now, chapter 9. The Roman chapter 9 onwards is talk about the salvation of the Jews. Chapter 9 to chapter 11. originally the gospel was given to Jews, but because they rejected, so the gospel was preached to the Gentiles, so you and me can receive the salvation. But before Jesus' second coming, when all the number of the Gentile fulfilled, and then God is going to open the door of salvation to the Jews. So all of them will repent and believe in Jesus. 9 to 11. And since the truth of salvation had been revealed in his body, the only one body, the true church, so you can see one day if our gospel preached and all the Israelites receive it, then the end of the world is very near. I don't think about it very, very far. It can be very, very fast. Happen very fast. Right now, internet age, everything can be fast. It can happen in a few minutes. So spread the gospel all over the world is not difficult. The time, right, God start to work. It's not difficult. So that's chapter 9 to 11. Now chapter 12 to chapter 15 is a life application. So in the book of Romans, we also can separate two parts. The first part is chapter 1 to chapter 11. This is a theological explanation of justification by faith. And the second part is chapter 12 to chapter 16, is a life application in response to the grace we receive in chapter 1 to chapter 11. So chapter 1 to chapter 11 can also refer to the love of God through his salvation. And chapter 12 to chapter 16 can also refer to our way to respond to the love of God. And how should we respond to God's love? Chapter 12, verse 1 is the key. Chapter 12, verse 1 is the key. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You say, our reasonable service, what is that? How to repay the love of God? I offer the tithes, yes, that's good, but not good enough. I keep the Sabbath, oh, yes, that's good, not good enough. How can we repay the love of God? The answer is chapter 12, verse 1. Present your body a living sacrifice. So present your body as a living sacrifice. Which part of the body? My eyes? My ear? Which part of the body? My feet? Present your body as a living sacrifice means totality. Oh, the whole being. Which means we adjust our goal of life. The goal of life is to serve God. Now, that's called present your body as a living sacrifice. Our goal of life is to serve God. Now, our goal of life is not work hard, make a lot of money, enjoy your life. No. Make the money in order you can survive. No money, how can you survive? Right? And the purpose of surviving is to serve God. The purpose is not for work, it's not for money, it's to serve God. So if we, everybody have this kind of realization, then you are going to see the church will be very powerful because everybody wants to serve God. But if we don't have that kind of realization, you are going to see a lot of church people, nobody wants to do it. Because everybody is just satisfied with keeping the Sabbath over the tithes. That's not good enough. And that's good enough. No. We should live a life of servitude. soul to repay the love of God. So chapter 12 to chapter 16 is a way we transform ourselves to live a new life. So this is the book of Romans. We cannot go into too much into detail because this is introduction of highlight, not in detail. In the book of Romans, there are three debts we have to pay. What is the first debt we have to pay? In the book of Romans, there are three debts we have to pay. The first debt, chapter 1. Verse. Chapter 1. Which verse? The first debt we have to pay. Verse 14. The debt of preaching the gospel. To the wise, to the fool, to the Jew, to the Gentile. So it's a debt. So preaching the gospel is to repay the debt. It's not we are doing a favor, it's to repay the debt. This is the first step. What are the second step? Chapter 3. What are the second step? Chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short the glory of God. Since we have sinned, we fall short the glory of God, which means we owe the debt of glorifying God. Now, originally, God created human beings according to His image. So human beings will be able to reflect the glory of God. But right now, we sin. So as a sinner, we cannot glorify God. So we have to repay the debt of glorifying God. How can we repay this debt? We have to transform ourselves to recreate the image of God, like Jesus. So we can glorify His name. That's the way to repay the debt. Then how about the third debt? Chapter 13. What verse? The third day. Eight. Owe no one anything except to love one another. Here say, owe no one anything except to love one another. So love one another will become a debt. A debt means you are not doing a favor for others. The debt. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. The law summed up in one word, love. The first part is to love God, the second part is love man. So we have to love other people to repay the love of God. And these three debts actually reflecting to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 24 is a prophecy of Jesus' second coming, right? And Matthew chapter 25, there are three parables for us to prepare for Jesus' second coming. The first parable is what? What is the first parable? Conversion, right? Five is the light, and five is darkness. That means glorify the name of God. We pay the debt. We're filled by the Holy Spirit, we can shine the light. The second is five talent, two talent, one talent. That's servitude. Preach the gospel. And the third is differentiate the goat from the sheep. And this is the debt of loving others. So the Bible is inspired by God so miraculously. You can quote this, then they are all connected together. still have 2 minutes. Any question about Roman? Okay, the ambition of Paul. Let's go into Roman chapter 15, verse 20.
Roman chapter 15, verse 20. And I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, but lest I should build on other men's foundation. Another translation is NIV or what? I make it my ambition to preach the
in a place where nobody has ever preached there. So Paul was very ambitious. You know, nowadays a lot of young men are very ambitious, right? So you don't have the time to invest in the relationship, right? And other people are so busy studying and what, do the extra, some kind of internship and this and that, try to reach the goal of your career. But we need to have more youth, very ambitious about the spiritual pursuit, about the serving. It's good for the church, also good for you. But if we are very ambitious in the world, in the spiritual perspective, we have no aim, no goal at all. Well, we can be very successful in the world, but when you reach to the end of your life, you'll find that you waste a lot of time pursuing something not meaningful at all. So be ambitious, everyone. That's pretty sad. Amen. Praise.